Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us tonight. We had some terrible rainstorms in the Los Angeles area last night. Wherever you live in the United States, you got to contend with, certainly it's nothing compared to what the folks in Florida had to deal with this past summer, Jay.
Oh, absolutely not, Phil. Good people in Florida certainly had a lot of time to put boards up. But we did have some very drastic weather last night here in Los Angeles area. And, of course, we were out trying to make sure that we could be on site for any emergency.
As a volunteer police agency, in other words, Citizens Auxiliary Police, you're not an official agency. What is your primary objective when you're cruising out on cruising around on a night like last night?
Well, the first thing we need to do is make sure we can be on site for any emergency. As I mentioned, anything that's happening where there's some kind of distress or problem. Last night, as you know, we were in Dominguez Hills. The traffic lights were out, and the intersection at Delano and Schaefer was pretty well flooded. And we did at that time observe a van that was stalled in the intersection. There was water standing about 3 to 4 feet.
What do you do in a situation like that?
What we did, Phil, and I happened to be in the van at the time, we want to make sure that we don't endanger the lives of our officers. That's the first primary objective of any police officer, make sure that you don't put yourself at risk. We did make note of the make and model of the car, who the occupants were. We saw that there was an adult female and two what looked to be minor children in the van. And then
you see this woman, she's in a van, she's stalled in the intersection. You say there was 3 to 4 feet of water?
That is correct, yeah.
Man, they got to do something about getting that water to run off, don't they?
That would be a good project for Caltrans, exactly.
So you see this woman stalled in the van in this flood water, and so then what?
As I said, we made note of, at that time, the female occupant looked to be trying to get the window open of the car or trying to get the door ajar. That's the first thing I noticed. She was trying to get the door open. There's a lot of water in the intersection, like I was trying to say.
Well, are you equipped what do you have, boots, slickers? How do you try to get them out of there, or do you call the police?
Well, there isn't really a lot you can do. Unfortunately, the system is burdened during a situation like that. Emergency services are doing all they can. You want to make sure that you help the individual while not endangering the life of the officer. So we had a call. Subcommander Comier's wife had called. They had flooding in their service porch area. So that was another situation, and it was destroying some of the carpeting they had. That is, if you're married, so your wife's going to go crazy. So we did have to dispatch that, but I did make note of the car, make and model, the occupants, what appears to be the problem. In our estimation, we log the time on a flow chart. We keep it at a substation that we have near my house, and we also monitor the weather on the Weather Channel. We have a contact who's a volunteer reserve officer in the Sheriff's Department, so we can keep up on it.
But what I'm saying is, in that immediate situation where there's a woman in a car with two children, is flooding, she's trying to get the door open, obviously it's not a good idea because the water's going to come flooding in. What are you doing for the occupants of that car?
Well, like I was trying to say, there isn't a lot you can do. One of the frustrations of being on the front line of law enforcement, any officer is going to tell you, is that so many situations you got to prioritize.
No, but if this is a woman with two children...
But that is correct. But you do have to prioritize. You make a report. A lot of times you just feel, your hands are tied on account of the system.
And so in a situation like that, where the woman was stuck in the intersection of the floodwater, you can't assist her?
Well, we immediately access a police scanner that we have in the vehicle to see that if there's any police activity. And if there is, I can certainly get on our PA and tell her that our understanding is a police car coming. But I can't endanger a police officer. I'm not sure exactly what it is you're asking me. Or...
Well, do you get out of your car? Do you go over to where the woman is? Do you wade through the water?
Well, that's a judgment call. That is a judgment call.
So last night, you had this woman stuck in the intersection.
Well, there isn't a lot you can do. Again, the emergency system, the emergency services are overburdened. You have to prioritize. And that's anything I would say to anybody listening to your program right now. If you're in a situation, that maybe you got yourself into, and maybe it's stupid, maybe it wasn't, maybe it's kind of a dumb thing or whatever, you got to prioritize. So if you got in a situation, I have to assume that lady in that car got into that intersection on account of she was probably not paying attention to what she was doing. So then we got to prioritize, well, is this an individual you help out or some kind of an idiot, or is this somebody...
Well, but you're not going to refer to a woman who is she an idiot?
No, I'm not saying she's an idiot. I'm saying, what's she doing stuck in the intersection, 3 feet of water or 4 feet of water?
Yeah, but she's got two kids. Is she trying to get the door open?
We assess it. We make a tough call. But you do have to make the tough calls.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're saying, Jay, that you prioritize calls based upon your judgment.
That is correct, yeah.
And the judgment of the person who's in the... So if there's a woman stuck in an intersection of 3 feet of water, or 4 feet of water...
Or if there's a down power line, someone wandered along and touched it, or these things that... In other words, if you want to get emergency services officers or citizens auxiliary police officers in harm's way because act like some kind of an idiot or some kind of deal like that, we got to prioritize. That's all I'm trying to say.
Would you say that the woman who was stuck in the intersection last night was an idiot?
No, I would not. No, I would never characterize any mother who is with her children as an idiot, but certainly if I was her husband, she got home last night, I'd probably give her what for. Yeah. I would not want. It's just a tough call.
All right. Well, last night we had terrible rains in the L.A. area. I can recall, and you know what? I can recall seeing kids in years gone by getting swept down storm channels because they were fooling around near the channel or down power lines. And when a freak storm like this one hits, there are bound to be emergencies that are life-threatening.
That is true. And, again, you do prioritize. And the situation where a kid gets swept down a storm channel, a couple of things that you do want to go through a checklist in your mind that every citizen's auxiliary police officer does go through the checklist. Kids getting swept down a storm channel, you say, well, some kind of stupid kid, you know, what's the deal there? Now, is he on our flow chart, we have blue, red, and green code. Blue code is a dire emergency. Red code is some kind of, you know, bonehead deal that you want to kind of prioritize.
So if a kid fell into a storm channel, you call that a red?
That's what we call, you know, we use the slang around in the station house. It's almost kind of a dumbass deal, one of these bonehead deals. So that's what we try to do.
All right.
But you do prioritize.
All right, if you were to see a kid being swept down a storm channel, that's something you have to act on, correct?
I certainly hope so, Phil. Yes, I do. I certainly hope so. Because please remember, we're doing all we can. We're keeping a flow chart of these events. We do make note of the time and the place. We do have a logbook here in the station house.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a kid being... I'll never forget. I don't know how many years ago it was. People listening to me may remember. I saw this poor kid on TV getting swept down a storm channel. I don't think I'll ever get that image out of my head of that poor boy, because when they did find him and they were trying to get him out of there, he had died.
Absolutely, Phil. It's a tough deal, and I certainly do sympathize. And Citizens Auxiliary Police, we have ordered a new Hewlett Packard computer system to help us better record these events, as well as ready access to weather reporting and that kind of nonsense. And I have to make sure that if we see, as we did last year, for instance, we saw a young woman last year, and she had hit a down power line over here in Hawaiian Gardens. And it looked as if she was going into shock, and of course, on the front lines, law enforcement, you do make a tough call. And
all right, what did you do in that case?
This young lady?
Yeah. Now, this is a young woman who's laying there in shock from being electrocuted?
That is correct, yes.
What did you do?
Well, the first thing you don't want to approach the body of the woman in case if her body is still electrified and it's all got electricity and stuff in it, and you touch her, and you can get a shock, you get electrified too, and an emergency system's overburdened. What we do is make note of the time, we make note of the weather condition, we monitor the police scanner to see if there's any police activity. In the situation you're talking about, we just rolled in from another situation. We just had gotten some dinner, and sitting there, I got a bucket of Popeye, you know, an 8-piece from Popeye's, and I see this gal, so we did wait to see if the police arrived, but...
Well, was she dead? Was she alive? You say she was in shock?
She did look as if she was in shock, right. But again, you do make a judgment call. What's she doing touching down power line? Is that kind of one of these dumb deals? You know, kind of a bonehead deal? What is it?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. John is with us here. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. I have a hard time understanding what the Citizens Auxiliary Police Department is about. I mean... You're just going to sit there and you're going to look at it and you're going to make judgment calls and you're going to wonder if she's an idiot. And you've got two women, you've got two kids in the car and a woman, and she's in flood water, and you're worried about not endangering yourself and you're not endangering the police officer, and those are laudable calls. But I mean, what's the point if you're just going to sit there and look at it?
Well, what we do, John, in that situation is we do prioritize, we do log the time and the place of the event. We do have a flow chart where we're going to keep track of those things. Yes, sir.
I mean, it's just a matter of...
I think what the gentleman's asking, if I may, John, what the gentleman's asking is kind of what I've been asking you, Jay. Do you help that woman or do you not? Do you go to the rescue of that girl who...
She doesn't need record keeping. She needs help.
Well, you're absolutely correct, John, and we're going to do all we can. We're going to do as quickly as we possibly can, but we do have to prioritize. I'm sure you're aware last night we had some very serious rainstorms here in the Los Angeles area. And a lot of the people who are in problems out there got into those problems, you know, kind of a boneheaded deal, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, even if she was a bonehead, her two minor kids ought not to suffer for it. But if you're not going to help them, why bother?
Well, we are helping them. We are trying to keep a flow chart of when these things take place.
Okay. Well,
all right.
How many hours does she have to wait for that to kick in?
Well, sir, what we do is we monitor police activity. If there's any police activity in the area, we do get on our PA and tell her that there are police officers that...
But what about just getting out of your car and going over there? In wader boots, 3 feet of water is not a big deal.
Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You guys sit there and judge me. But I don't want to... If I get an officer drowned or something, then, you know, it's my rear end.
Well, you know, the officer will be a whole lot safer if he just stay home in bed.
No, what we're trying to do is we let the water subside, and then we can go over there when it's good and dry.
But by the time it's dry, she can drive out of there.
I'm sorry?
You say you let the water subside?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't see the point. I mean,
we're doing everything we can. We're doing everything we can. We had a very... terrible rainstorm. It's kind of a freak rainstorm we had last night.
Well,
and
okay,
now you've got to
got to
prioritize. Yes, sir, we got to prioritize. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, John.
Well, it seems like you have, and anybody that needs help is at the bottom of the list.
No, sir, that is not the case at all, sir. No, sir.
Okay, well, that's certainly the impression you've given, but I thank you for responding.
That may be the impression you're getting, but that's not certainly what I'm trying to give here.
All right, John,
you need to think about that. Okay, thank you.
Right,
have a good evening.
All right, thank you very much, John. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. A lot of things in emergency services. With the Citizens Auxiliary Police, it's a volunteer, kind of a neighborhood police patrol. These guys are all, they have jobs, right, Chris? In an emergency situation, they have to, quote, prioritize. Last night, they observed a woman and two kids in a van stalled in about 4 feet of water in an intersection down here in L.A. County. And apparently, they made the judgment call not to help her because he said, and I'm quoting him, she got into that mess because kind of a, quote, boneheaded decision on her part. So am I right in assuming that if you're quote dumb and you get into a dangerous situation, then you're not worthy of being helped? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I do the splits over an egg, then I do a somersault into an open watermelon.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us. Jay, I want to ask you, people are asking a question. If you're out there on patrol during a rainstorm like we had last night in the L.A. area or any other time, even if somebody got involved in the situation because they're stupid, they're worthy of being helped.
Phil, I got to tell you, during a break, I was bristling just a little bit at the inference on the part of some of your callers, and I must say on your part, that somehow we're not doing anything to help protect people. Citizens Auxiliary Police is about saving lives. It's all about saving lives. And
well, you're talking about a lady stuck in an intersection with two minor children in a flooded intersection. And
so we do everything we possibly can to assist. I could give you an example. I can give you countless examples. Last year in Cerritos, we came across a woman who had been very badly mauled by a pit bull.
Good Lord.
And at that time, we did get on our PA. We scared the animal off. Yes, unfortunately, she was pretty well mauled, pretty well done by then. But I suppose you're going to criticize me for that, because what, I wasn't there on time? Fact is, we did scare the pit bull off. And they were rescue workers were able to come in and get, you know, what was, you know, the remains of this woman is pretty well spread over a large area. But what we're trying to say is...
Oh, my God, man. I mean, so you scared off a pit bull from a woman who'd been badly mauled?
Yes, sir. But the point that I'm trying to make is you make a judgment call. If she's fooling around with a dog or she's messing around with it and she provokes the animal, so what are you saying? I'm supposed to do what? Endanger myself because she provoked this dog? Same thing with that down power line. This gal's dead and all, you know, she's all electrified and everything. I'm supposed to go over there and touch her and I could get electrified too because she was fooling around? See, that's the kind of judgment call I make.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Maybe I don't understand the nature of rescue work. Here is Marge. Go ahead, Marge.
You know, I cannot begin to believe that anybody would sit there with the brain of the spine of a jellyfish and the brain of a zygote and tell me that you as a trained auxiliary personnel could not go out of your way to save someone or even attempt to rescue them. How dare you?
Well, man,
How dare you sit there and say that?
I take exception to your characterization of me.
You don't have to take exemption.
Well, man,
you don't have to take exemption because you know what?
Yeah,
you have not
bit.
Been trained properly. And if you have, it went in one ear and out the other. I've sat here through four hurricanes, and I've seen countless, countless people that were citizens, that were auxiliary trained, who were professionally trained, living through four hurricanes through their own personal misery, risk their lives.
Well, ma'am, I don't know if you know exactly if they were auxiliary. I'll tell you something else.
Wait a minute. Let me jump in here. Marge has made a good point. What if you were in Florida?
We do have the Florida Gator Brigade down there. Yes, sir, we do.
Okay. Those officers down there, do they help out? I mean, the hurricane.
Well, one of the things you have to consider, I guess the lady will take exception to this, too, because she seems to take exception to everything I say.
Well, that's the first smart thing you've said.
Well, ma'am, you know, I'm on the front lines of law enforcement's judgment call. Now, if
no,
I'm
you're
down
not.
In Florida,
you're
if
auxiliary.
I'm down in Florida...
You admitted it. You said it. You're an auxiliary trained personnel.
I'm a lot closer to the you know, trouble than you are, and a lot of these people...
No, you're not.
First of all, I got to make a judgment call.
Day.
I got to make a judgment call.
How many hours did you sit without power?
I got to make a judgment call.
How many hours did you sit
Why did you move to Florida? Why did you move to Florida?
How many hours did you sit without a roof?
Well, can
Don't
I answer
you
the
sit there and tell me.
Can I answer the lady's question?
Go ahead.
You moved to Florida. Okay, what's that about? And then you come crying to me about it?
Well,
honey,
wait a minute.
Moved to Florida. I was born here. I'm an original, not like
all right.
you.
All right. Well, then you come cry to me about it. I mean, so...
I live here because I'm proud of my
state.
What do you
mean she comes
I'm proud of my auxiliary personnel, and I'm proud of my professional people here.
Are you,
we all help out.
Are you auxiliary?
We're not afraid to get out of our cars,
well,
and we're not afraid
question?
To help our neighbors,
Did
because
you board
we're all
your house
down
up?
Here pulling together right now.
Did you board
what
up your
family
house?
Are you doing?
Did you
drinking
board up your
coffee?
House? Did you get emergency drinking water? Did you do the things necessary so that you weren't going to be living in some kind of a shack after the hurricane?
We did all that.
Well,
my
gotta,
house cost $249,000. What kind of a crumb hole are you living in?
Well, ma'am, I can tell you right now, $249,000 isn't going to get you a drink of water in the state of California.
Well, I'll tell you what, you need to be in Florida. We would teach you what life is all about.
Well, Margie, I'll tell you this. I would make a judgment call. As much as it would hurt me to help you, I probably would help even you, even though you've characterized me the way you have. But boy, I'll tell you
well,
what, once
you know
I drop
what? You
off...
You need to find yourself.
Once I dropped you off at the emergency shelter, I wash my hands of you. They can do what they want with you.
Well, if I saw right. somebody like you, I'd wait for the next one to come along, because there always is in Florida.
Well, there you go. That's,
and that's
what
all
you,
I have to
you
say
wait for the next
that.
One to come along while your house gets
Goodbye.
Blowed. While your house gets blowed.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is it the job of the emergency personnel to... See, this guy's getting into argument. Is it the job of emergency personnel to help people no matter what, or do they prioritize based upon the person's stupidity in getting themselves in that situation in the first place? Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police says he's got to make a judgment call. Is that person there because they were stupid, or do they really need my help? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's prodigal son. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're back with Jay Sattis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about a very, very heavy rainstorm we had in Los Angeles last night, and the flooding and what you do to rescue people from these kinds of situations. Jay, let's get back to this lady that was stalled in the intersection. The intersection's flooded. She's got two kids in the car. You said you made note of the time and the place and the situation. You monitored the police scanner, but at no time did you get out of your car to help this woman in any way.
Because it's a judgment call, Phil. I'm trying to make myself clear, and I'm getting a lot of people on the phone who don't understand the nature of law enforcement police work. That last lady I spoke to in Florida who was hysterical, and she's like a lot of these people in Florida get hysterical. You see a lot of these people go hysterical down there, and they get a palm tree blown over, something like that. What we're trying to say here is...
Well, they had three very serious hurricanes down there.
No, I understand that, but... fact of the matter is, she doesn't understand what you're supposed to do as auxiliary police. What you're supposed to do is make note of the time and the place, keep a flow sheet and a log, and then also assess and prioritize the situation. Is the person in that situation because, as I say, they make kind of a boneheaded play, they make kind of a boneheaded deal? We had been working a good 10-hour shift. I had stopped over here at the Popeyes, which is, a fast food chicken kind of a situation over there on Venice. I got an 8-piece bucket. And we were having, myself and Subcommander Kabir were having an 8-piece bucket, and I see this gal, she stole the intersection. Now I got to make a judgment call. Is her life an imminent threat? No.
Well, she's trying to get the door open with flood water coming in. That could be dangerous, especially with windows rolled up.
Well, again... You got to prioritize the situation. Just open up the door. That's another bonehead thing, too. Now, we have the 8-piece bucket. We are keeping the flow sheet.
What do you mean the 8-piece bucket? You mean you went over to Popeyes? I can't believe...
Now, Mr. Henry, I have a right to have dinner, and like anyone else, the lady, in my estimation, based upon my view of the situation, my assessment of the situation... Is the lady was not in any imminent danger.
Well, did you call the cops? Did you do... That's what I'm saying.
We made a note of the time...
Yeah, you made a note of the time and the place, and you got a flow sheet. But, to me...
You prioritize. The guy's over there with a dumbass situation, and...
You keep calling it the bonehead play in the dumbass situation.
Well, that is what, it's shorthand that we use in law enforcement. Some guy... It's like this gal that we saw get mauled by this pit bull over in Cerritos last year. Sit there fooling around with a pit bull... You get your throat ripped out six ways to sunset. I've seen it happen. Now, what we do is we get on the PA. I've got the PA right here. If I can test it out for you, what we did in that situation. So what we do is we get the pit bull the hell out of there.
Yeah, but the woman by that point, you say, had been pretty well mauled.
So in other words, I'm supposed to have a crystal ball and know when a pit bull is mauling somebody who made a bonehead play. I understand that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Are you calling for Jim?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, my name is Jim. And, Jay,
yes,
all
sir.
I can say is I am a ex-police officer. I was on the auxiliary police. I was on the volunteer fire department. And you have no business being on anything where you make judgment calls because you don't understand judgment, for one. You don't understand
what
life is all about. You don't understand what you are supposed to be there. If you're not getting paid for this, you must be doing it for some kind of honor or show or something or other, because you don't have the heart to do what you're doing.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You know as well as I do, you got to take into consideration the life officer involved.
You know what? I've been listening to you. I pulled over on the side of the freeway. I'm a commercial truck driver. I'm an ex-police officer. I'm an ex-Army vet. And you don't understand what the heck you're supposed to be doing there.
All you have done
was call people boneheads, idiots. You started to talking sort of nicely about the lady with the pit bull, and then you said she made a bonehead. So, you know what? I hope you have never made any kind of unnecessary judgment call in your life. And if you ever get out there,
Sir, I'd like to be able to respond to what you said.
Key
thing of what you just said, I'm an ex-police officer, ex-this, ex-that. Want to know why you're ex? Maybe you couldn't handle it. I don't know. I'm not ready
you
to make that judgment. I'm not ready to make that judgment call.
You're a total bonehead yourself, because you don't give anybody credit. I'm 59 years old. I was a police officer for 8.5 years. I had many citations and many honors given to me. I saved lives. I saved children's lives. I saved adults' lives. And you know what? Even an idiot like you, if you made a bonehead judgment call and was in trouble, I would risk my life even for you, because I understand what God tells us, that no man have more love than this than to lay down his life for his fellow man.
Well, sure, I got to ask you this.
You don't understand
time.
That, and
sure,
that
to
you're probably
time.
Not a Christian.
You sound a little hysterical.
No, wait a minute. This man is making some points, though, Jay. He's yelling, yes, but...
Oh, he's making some points? I made a judge. I got an 8-piece Popeye's bucket. Gal's not in any kind of danger. What am I supposed to do?
Well, I don't know about the 8-piece Popeye's bucket, okay?
I'm having dinner. Didn't you have dinner, Jim? I guess Jim's not there, huh?
Well, Jim... did we dump out of Jim? Yeah. What did he say? Did he say the A-H word? Wow.
You're kidding. That's like against the law?
What?
Saying A word? Say the A plus the H word? Put it all together and you got...
Don't say it! I guess so, man. I guess it'll violate decency guidelines or something.
Can I switch something about your business, Phil?
I don't want to stay on this whole thing. You call people boneheads.
Well, wait, let me tell you something. I want to say something to that gentleman. If you're still listening, sir, I saw a kid that got hit with a Halloween pumpkin. A couple of bully kids is picking on him. Now, I'm in the middle of an 8-piece bucket. This kid's covered in pumpkin. And yet, I did step out of the van at that time. And I warned off these young men who'd been harassing this kid with his pumpkin meat. Now, I'm trying to say to you that...
You keep bringing up your 8-piece bucket from Popeye's, man.
Well, you think it's funny, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to save lives.
The guy is talking. That man made perfect sense.
Can I just ask you something?
Sure.
Are you going to deal with one of that satellite deals? Howard Stern satellite deal?
Sir, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about...
No, I just want to know, because it seems like they wouldn't let you say that A-H word.
I didn't say it. The caller did.
Well, you'd be a lot happier on that satellite deal, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't. I happen to like where I work.
Well, the point that I'm trying to say, Mr. Henry, about these young people, I got an extra crispy 8-piece bucket from Popeye's. This lady is in no immediate danger as far as I can tell. And I made a judgment call. If I was wrong, I was wrong. But I'm the one that's wrong. She's not wrong. I am, see?
She's the one that could drown, and her kids could drown.
But I'm the one that's wrong. She's not wrong. So the heat's on me.
Well, the heat may be on you, but she's the one that's dead.
She is not dead. Now, let me tell you something else. I got pumpkin on my hands, Mr. Henry. You ever try to get rid of pumpkin? Because pumpkin smell is bad. Now, the other thing I want to mention... the 8-piece bucket that was extra crispy.
Get off your bucket, man, and talk to me about this lady and this woman from the down power line and everything else. You don't seem to understand what people are trying to say is you didn't do your job.
I did my job and I had a pumpkin.
By the way, can I say something?
Sure.
What's a pumpkin?
You don't know what a pumpkin. Boy, I feel sorry for you. You don't know what a pumpkin is. Halloween's coming, you don't know a pumpkin?
No. I know what a pumpkin is, but I don't know what a pumpkin is.
Yes, I'm a trainer and not a professional broadcaster like you, so excuse me if I can't say pumpkin.
Yeah, okay, man. Well, Jay, I tell you what...
Hold on for a minute. Get away. I gotta get... somebody's stuck in an intersection.
I hope the police come.
See there, I just held there...
What did you just say to her?
I just told there's a woman stuck in an intersection right now. I said, I hope the police come.
I'm really hoping the police come. I'm on the police scanner. If they come, we'll let you know. If they don't... I'm going to keep an eye on you. I'm going to go over here to the Winchells. I'll keep an eye on you from there.
What did you say to her? You're going to keep an eye on her from the Winchells?
Yeah. Anyway, this kid with a pumpkin.
Oh, forget the pumpkin. Here is John. Hello, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. When you leave a lady in a car stranded like that and flood water.
Have you ever had pumpkin on your hand, sir? No.
Don't start that with me.
Start what, sir?
What?
Start what? I'm simply trying to say that in any given situation, we react and act according to the prioritizing flowchart.
I don't care what you're saying. You don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing.
When you leave a lady in a car and a floodwater and a cup of children in a car like that, you don't know what you're doing.
First of all, we were waiting for the floodwaters to subside. Once it was good and dry, we'd go over and get them out.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You and a pumpkin, get out of there.
Okay, sir?
I'm not going with pumpkins.
If you know, first of all, Halloween night, kids take pumpkin. Sir, a little tip. Next time you call a talk show, let's finish you and your sandwich.
Why don't you go in and after that lady and save her instead of almost drowning in that water?
That's what we're trying to ask him, John. Why didn't you just get out of the van?
Because it was a bonehead play. You want me to go over and help out a woman who drove into that intersection knowing full well her car could get stalled? I got a 8-piece extra crispy bucket. Okay? So what I do, John, is I wait for the floodwaters to subside to some level so that I can...
How do you know when it's going to survive? Go down.
Well, you watch it. I've got brand new... First of all, leather, and I don't know if you know much about leather, leather spots when it gets wet.
Yeah, leather spots when it gets wet. What's that got to do with it?
I'm wearing leather. Sir, this might be a little personal, so forgive me, but do you have a large tongue or something?
What?
I just was, John, chew all the dates before you talk. That's all I'm asking you.
I'm not calling everybody's names over the phone.
I'm not calling you names. I'm just asking you to finish chewing your sandwich. And I'm going to get some pumpkin pie or some kind of deal like that before you call talk.
Not your pumpkin pies and everything else.
Right there, sir. You heard what he said.
What?
He said, I got your pumpkin swinging.
No, he did not. And he just hung up. You there, John? No, he hung up. He didn't say, I got your pumpkin swinging.
Yes, he did.
Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Oh, I guess that's your cue music, huh?
One of the things we're very proud of at Citizens Auxiliary Police Film, we have been for quite some time, is the fact that we have our own personal theme music. So that wherever we go, whatever lives we save, when you hear this song, you know you've had your life saved by me.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
That would be us.
It may be called police, state troopers, militia, the Rangers,
or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Oh yeah, I still got the smell of pumpkin on me.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten any children? Have you seen them lately?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Margaret Gray from yesterday's show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have never in my life heard anybody do something as outrageous as this lady has done.
I think I would ask you to be quiet while I'm talking. Well, what is outrageous about voting for John Kerry, for God's sake?
I'm asking you to be quiet while I talk. I've heard enough of your...
Listen, preacher, you're used to standing at the pulpit and not having people ask you questions. But I'll
Don't call him preacher.
You don't have to listen to me.
Don't call him preacher, okay?
Well, I don't want the man to talk at me.
Well,
talk to me. Don't talk at me.
Okay, I'll talk to you, ma'am. You do not have a right to go out and burn up old people's flags. That is totally ridiculous. I don't care if you call it theater. I don't care if you call it art. It's a bunch of vandalism.
So you're against
art. It's law, and you should be put in jail for your behavior.
You're against art.
Never in my life, and that's the trouble with people like you who think they've got to force their opinions on other people. So
Hold on. Claire, hold on. What are you listening to?
I'm listening to Al Jazeera.
Would you please turn it down?
I didn't know it was that loud, so I'm sorry.
You're listening to Al Jazeera while you're on the air with me?
I'm trying to get the truth, Phil. And
Al Jazeera's got the truth, huh?
Oh, here we go with your Bush. Here we go.
I just feel that this woman is totally outrageous. I'm surprised she's not in jail. Because if I would go out and do the things that she's done, I don't care if I would call it art.
What did I do?
I would call it my years of training.
What did I do?
I'm also an educator, and we in any country I've ever been in, if somebody would do what you did, they'd be put in jail.
Well, specifically, what did I do that you find fault with?
First of all, you're trying to impose your opinion on somebody else. You have a right to your opinion, and you can go to the polls and vote for John Kerry. But we, who don't feel like you do, have a right to vote for who we want to, and we don't appreciate, nor is it lawful for you to try to force us to change our minds.
I didn't try to force anybody to vote. I simply drove my car across someone's front lawn.
And that is illegal, ma'am. If you drive your car across my front lawn, I would call the police. Or I'd be out there with my gun and shoot your tires out. That's what I'd do.
Oh, my God. Here we go with this pro-gun lobby. I love it. You know,
pro-gun lobby? The man's talking about protecting his property.
Oh, my. My
property is more important than your
Maurice the Rucker Richard, Wes Parker, and Ron Fairley at the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Along with Laurie Metcalf, Glenn Hensley, and Prince Stewart.
I could care less about your education.
I know.
I'm educated, too. And you do not have the right to go around destroying other people's property.
Well, you know what? With a name like Claire, you probably bring out a water gun. So what do you think of that?
Oh, isn't that adult? Isn't that adult?
Well, he's giving me a hard time.
Well, you ought to be having a hard time, ma'am. I can't believe that they even let you appear on a talk show.
Because this is still America, the last time I checked. And if I want...
You know what? I got to tell you something, Claire, because I read about some of this woman's exploits, and...
Are you speaking about being the third person?
I would ask you to just hold on. At a Bush-Cheney rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where they were selling some Bush-Cheney bumper stickers, Ms. Gray, did you relieve yourself on a stack of Bush-Cheney bumper stickers?
It was an artistic statement.
Boy.
That is not artistic, ma'am. That is plain vulgarity.
You're going to judge me now? You're
judging me. I don't care what you call it. By a normal American standards, that is obscene and vulgar, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
It is in the greatest tradition of Jonathan Swift.
Jonathan Swift. Jonathan Swift was a satirist, and he was a brilliant one. You calling yourself Jonathan Swift?
I think we have something in common.
I don't think he was vulgar like
apparently,
you are.
Apparently, Ms. Gray, according to the New York Times, you also used a Bush bumper sticker to wax your bikini area, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, you're very vulgar, you're very obscene, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I needed a wax. What's wrong with that?
You're a disgrace to the feminine race.
To the feminine race?
Yeah.
Claire, at least I've got the name Margaret, which fits me. Claire is the name of a song by Gilbert O'Sullivan about a woman who went to the top of a bell tower and stretched her neck because of some bad, bad love affair. Now,
well, there's a lot of people by the name of Claire, and
yes,
I don't even know what your name is.
And they all wear something once a month that's absorbent.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
She is disgusting. Margaret Gray from our show yesterday on why she kicked a kid's binder down a hall because it had a Bush Cheney sticker on it. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-866. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm Beelzebub. Welcome to the Prince of Darkness Show. Here's your host, this is Satan.
Not bad. Not bad. Hi, everybody. This is Satan Incarnate. Welcome to the Prince of Darkness Show. We're broadcasting live from hell. Yeah.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
It's getting a little hot down here, baby. I am Satan Incarnate. I am the devil. People call me a lot of things, I guess, Beelzebub. What do you call me? Quick with that line, man, huh? That's it. You'll think of something. Anyway, we've got some great guests for you today. In fact, we've got the guest for you today here on the Satan Incarnate Show, as we want to bring on a very special guest tonight, God himself. What do you think about that, Beelzebub? Jesus, man. Come on, you got to have something to say about that.
Wow.
Wow is right. God will be with us right after these messages here on the Satan Incarnate Show from Hell.
Yeah.
Live from Hell, it's the Satan Incarnate Prince of Darkness Show on the Premier Radio Networks. All right, welcome back. I am Satan. I am the devil. I don't know what you want. I'm the guy that had Linda Blair spinning around, you know, that whole thing with a crucifix. Woo! That was an inspiring day that day. All right, look. I want to be very serious here for a moment. We want to welcome somebody who is a fantastic, well, let's face it, he is the man. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, live from hell, my very special guest here on the Satan Incarnate Prince of Darkness show, God Almighty. Hey.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, thank you, man.
God, you're my Lord, whatever you want to call it. It's a rare treat to have you down here.
Well, you know, I want to check on business, you know.
Check on business, huh? Listen, I what are you doing down here anyway?
Yeah, I'm taking a vacation, and I want to check, you know, see how things everything is.
So you're down here just checking out hell?
Yeah, I'm on vacation looking for a summer house, and, you know, checking it out.
God, you know, while you're here, we get so many cards and letters, you know, people asking, especially from old people, they say, hoping, you know, that they don't wind up here in hell. Here's one. It says here, Dear Satan, I hate you. I give every nickel I have to Pat Robertson, and I pray with the prayer partners.
Yeah.
All the time. And I watched Paul and Jan Crouch. Why do I have this vaguely guilty feeling? Sincerely, Helen Carter, Charleston, South Carolina. Can you answer that?
Well, I know that that's... I know that woman. She strangled one of her babies when he was two. So she thinks she had given up money to Pat Robertson. She's going to burn. Well, I'm going to send her down to hell. It's the surest way to go to hell and give money to Pat Robertson.
Whoa, did you hear that?
I gave him $2.
Yeah, well, you already in hell, you dumbass.
Woo! Give God a... That's the surest way to hell is give money to Pat Robertson, huh?
That's right. That's right. And that lady there wrote that letter. She strangled her baby in a crib when the baby was two.
Oh, so she murdered one of her children?
That's right. And she, you know, give money to Pat Robinson, think he's going to buy her out of that. No way. God sees everything. I'm everywhere all time, you know.
See, that's another thing. Are you really everywhere? You know what?
Don't mess with me, man. You know, the reason why you're here, come me.
All right. I know who the boss is. Okay, listen. I got a...
But she strangled a baby, and I do that.
All right, listen, God, maybe you can clear something else. I get a lot of mail from people saying, nah, 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 I'm a Christian. You won't ever get me. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Is that right? I mean, I can't get them down here if they accepted Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, I don't know. That's my son, you know.
Yeah.
And my son's here. He's in the car. Can I go get him?
You mean your son Jesus is here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go get him. Go get my son, will you?
Beelzebub, you know, you don't have to do it, God. You're God. Beelzebub, go get Jesus.
The guy with the nails?
Yes, the guy with the... What a jackass.
You know? Don't mess with me, man, you know.
I'm going.
So, well, Beelzebub's going to go out and get your son, Jesus. Well, here he comes right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hey! How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, how you doing?
I'm all right, Father, thank you.
Jesus, I wanted to ask you, I was asking your father, God, about this whole Christ is my personal Savior thing, right?
Yes, that's correct, right.
So is that true? So people accept you as their personal Savior, that they don't go to hell?
That is my understanding at this time. Certainly that is my understanding, yes, sir.
So it's your understanding that people bring you into their heart and they won't go to hell, right?
That is my understanding. Yes, that's correct. So vis-a-vis the things that I've known, you know. But...
You're a little nervous around a microphone, aren't you?
I'm very, very much so, yes, sir. But I think I'm doing, you know.
You're the guy that got nailed to the cross?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah, he's my son. You don't believe it?
No, I believe it. I just kind of soft-spoke, didn't have a lot to say.
No, I'm just sort of overwhelmed, you know. Everything that I see here is very nice. It's very nice down here.
You like it in hell?
No, I don't like it in hell, but, you know, it looks like hell, you know.
Yeah, it looks like hell. Don't you remember him tempting you in the desert?
You know, he's vaguely familiar, yeah.
Well, I was the guy that was tempting you in the desert, remember?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do now. Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes, I do remember you. Yes, I do. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, God, well, you and Jesus can split and go look for that summer house or whatever you guys are doing.
All right. I just want to say to everybody that they're gonna, Billy Graham will have a telethon coming up October 3rd, and I'm going to be on a Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And, Jesus, what are you doing?
I'm going to be doing Conan O'Brien.
You guys are kidding, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we're pulling your leg, you dumbass.
Woo, man, these guys. All right, folks, that's all we got from... How do you like that? God's son is like a Chicago hood. That's great. Well, anyway, folks, that's it. Join us next week as we talk to a very special guest, a guy who's been cooking down here for a long time, Timothy McVeigh. Until then, good night, everybody. Beelzebub, my car.
Yeah, sure, boss.
Dummy.
Very nice down here. It's very good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thanks a lot. Thank you, God.
Yeah, all right.
Well, there you go. That's the Satan Incarnate Show. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you're interested. You probably aren't, but I am. The New York Yankees are getting shelled by Boston, but they're coming back in what looks to be the bottom of the seventh, is it, Mark, or the bottom of the eighth? It was 8-1 Boston, coming back from a two-game deficit, I think it was, and now Boston is on the verge of winning the American League Championship. They were leading 8-1, but the Yankees have picked up a couple of runs. Maybe that's it, though, because it looks like the inning's over, but I thought you'd like to know that. But the funny thing is people in Yankee Stadium, or excuse me, yeah, in Yankee Stadium, are holding up pictures of Babe Ruth to try to jinx this Boston reliever who was getting, he was getting touched up a little bit. And if you don't know the story, Babe Ruth was traded from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees in 1919 and or 1918 or 1920 or something like that. And ever since Babe Ruth was traded, the Boston Red Sox have never won a World Series. They call it the Curse of the Bambino, some kind of silly thing like that. All right, so coming up later in our show tonight, we have Sew Me Up So Tight. I'm talking through a hole in my face with Sheila Skelly, Dr. Jack Briscoe, our plastic surgery segment. Special guest tonight on Sew Me Up So Tight, Mary Tyler Moore. That's right. Talk about her facelifts and all of the many eye jobs she's had. Also, tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley, along with Chef Carl Chedilia. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up later on tonight, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm talking through a hole in my face. And that is, of course, our plastic surgery special with Dr. Jack Briscoe and Sheila Skelly, and they'll have on tonight Mary Tyler Moore, who is going to be talking about how she made herself acceptable to the human race, how she was able to win friends and even love by changing her face, by not being so horrifically ugly. Mary Tyler Moore is not a good example. She was a very beautiful woman, but I guess she felt she needed more. Is that right? I'm not even sure she's had any. She has one of those faces. When she was young, she had one of those faces that was so really beautiful that people just assumed she'd had plastic surgery because no one can be that good looking, right? My wife, if you're around women and you hear them talking, if you say, for instance, well, she's very beautiful. Oh, look at the work she's had done. You ever hear women, you know, my wife's like that. I said, Sharon Stone still looks great. Oh, well, she's had work done. It's all with this work done thing. And when they talk to each other, honey, I've had it all done. Had the nose, had the boobs, had the butt. If you can do it, I can do it. And I know people, I don't want to mention any names, but there's certain friends of ours, good God almighty, like they're going in once a week. They're getting a Botox injection here. They're getting a buttox injection there. And they're getting their eyes done, their noses done, their lips done, their stomach done, their breasts done, their legs done. Like the bionic freaking woman. Oh, she's had work done. Why can't she just be beautiful? No, she's had work done. But women are great at spotting that stuff, man. I mean, if you're like me, I don't know if a dude's wearing a toupee, do you? Guys don't see that. Now, after you do, Pelton? Well, you're kind of feminine. Well, I like you, Chris, but you have more of a feminine streak in you. Don't you? You don't like sports, right, man?
You're not just because I have long hair?
Yeah, you know, you got long hair, dude. Everybody had, you know.
Sam Donaldson, hello? You can't see that. I agree with Pelton.
Well, Sam Donaldson, okay, I'll give you Sam Donaldson. Although I didn't know, you know.
Well, did a girl have to tell you?
I don't know if a girl... Get out of here, will you, bud? If a girl told me. I don't know what a toupee looks like. I honestly... When I found out William Shatner was wearing a wig, came as a total bolt out of the blue for me. I had no clue. When I found out that who's another guy that wears a wig?
Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds wore a wig. Came like a bolt out of the blue. Honest to God, it did. And I worked with a guy once, years ago, at our local radio station, and I thought he had the greatest head of hair. I was envious because by this point I was 26 or 27, and I was getting a bald spot in the back of my head, and I was very envious of this guy until one of the women in the office one day said to me, "Why does he wear that fright wig?" And I said, "Fright wig? Are you're kidding, right?" "No, he's got on a full-on Don King fright wig." I said, "I thought that was just a stylish perm." She goes, "Are you kidding me? He bought that down at Western Costume." I said, "You're kidding." And then she began pointing out to me, you can see the difference of the hair color, this kind of thing. But beyond that, if I look at somebody and they say, she looks good to me, like Sharon Stone looks good to me. "Nah, my wife. Ah, she's had work done." I said, "Well, I really like that, what's her face, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Ah, she's had work done." I said, "What work? She couldn't have had all that work done, man. She looks like poor Catherine's weighing about, what's she weighing in it now, at 380? So Sheila and Jack will talk about the modern trend toward plastic surgery, and we're all trying to be a little less ugly so that we don't scare people as we walk down a street. Time now to take a look at the news. By the way, the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox are battling it out, and the Sox are on the verge of upsetting the Yanks. They went down 2-0 in the series, and now they battled back to a 3-3 tie, and tonight in New York, they are leading the Yankees by 6 runs going into the ninth inning. And the New York Yankees, for the first time in my memory, are going to lose a World Series, or not a World Series, but an ALCS in the 7th game after getting their asses kicked at home. And that's after that whole "Who's Your Daddy" thing, where the Boston pitcher apparently said, "The Yanks are my daddy." So everybody was holding up the "Who's Your Daddy" sign, which, by the way, came out after somebody dinged one. But forget it, man. New York is done, baby. Everybody hates the Yanks, but I got to respect them for one reason and one reason only. They're in a great city, New York. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, they stop down at every Yankee game and sing "God Bless America." Did you know that? Every home game, they sing "God Bless America." Now, I'm surprised nobody has filed a lawsuit to try to stop that. Come on, man, where's the lawsuit on that one? How dare they force me to acknowledge that I live in a country? I saw a lawsuit the other day. Did you hear this one? This is good. Now, when you go to school and you go into your classroom when you were a kid, did you see pictures of the presidents? Didn't you? I saw them. They had them all the way down the line from, Washington, Jefferson, all of them. Some woman in some school district back in some hole back east got a teacher suspended because she said, "I don't want a picture of Bush up there." And the woman said, the teacher said, "Wait a second, he's president of the United States. He's like, I'm teaching the kids about history." "Well, you can't have him up there because he's running for re-election. What about Kerry?" "What do you mean, what about Kerry? He ain't president yet." "Well, that's not fair." "What ain't fair? The cat's the president. I'm going to put his face up there." "Well, you know what? I'm going to go to the school board and have you suspended because you're giving me lip." You see what I'm talking about? If I was a teacher, man, I'd pack a gun to school. Not for the students, for the parents. I don't fear the kids, man. The parents come in. Okay, here she comes again, Mrs. So-and-so, right? Mrs. Anderson or Mrs. Brown. She's always bugging the school board. She's always walking in her sneakers with her big long moo-moo, right? She's carrying a raft of sheaf of papers that she got off the internet about this, that, or something else. She's walking into the school board meeting. "Well, I just think that..." "Oh, again, Mrs., what is it with you?" "Well, why does she have a picture of Bush? He's the president of the United States. You remember? And the guy before him was Clinton. Well, he's running for re-election, and I don't think the political process should be influenced that way." "It's in a classroom. The kids can't even vote." "Well, they can go home and tell their parents." "I just think this man, he's..." Like, Bush is considered to be such a rotten president, he doesn't even deserve to be up there with his picture of the other presidents, right? I can name a few presidents that were more rottener, if you'll pardon the use of the word rottener. Can't you? Let me think.
Yeah, you can't think of anybody.
Shut up. Bush is great, man. I love him. Warren G. Harding, wasn't he a dirtbag? Wasn't he running around with, like, his black maid or something? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, at a time when... Yeah, he was running around on his wife. And how about that other guy? What's his... drunk. Ulysses S. Grant. That guy was next to a jug for 8 years, man. He had a nose on him, man. Friggin', they're waiting for it to turn green so they can get some traffic moving around the White House. And then they had another guy who stunk like you wouldn't believe. They had all kinds of crooked bums down to it. Are you trying to tell me that Bush is the worst? I saw it. Get a load of this. You love this? I'm driving down to 101. I'm on my way home one night. Some jackass has put a big cardboard sign up on a freeway overpass. Worst president ever. Now, I got to say to myself this. Okay. What exactly is this person's historical perspective? Worst president. Yeah, thank you very much, Bud. What were you just, Bud, just held up a sign. What's it say there, Bud?
Jefferson had sex with a slave woman.
That ain't bad. Yeah, right. Well, do me a favor, man. Go get me another Coke or something. You're really bugging me. A slave woman. Worst president. I said, okay, what is this guy's historical perspective? Worst president ever. What is, as compared to what? Well, then I realized. I realized what it was. The guy has made a decision that is on a historical, it is on a historical scale only comparable with the Civil War and Pearl Harbor. Naturally, with something as extreme and profound as what this country has been through, naturally it's going to polarize people. I'm always saying I think the guy's going to go down in history as one of our greatest, so naturally there's got to be a guy out there who thinks he's the worst freaking thing that ever happened to the planet Earth, right? Worst president ever. So I thought, wow, he really is motivating people. I mean, that proves my point that the guy's going to go down in history as perhaps one of the greatest presidents we've ever had because of the way he's polarized people. And he's done it not because he's had sex with a slave, not because he had Monica Lewinsky in there cleaning under the desk, not because he paid some burglars to infiltrate the Democratic National Headquarters, not because he was having sex with a maid in the White House, not because he was a drunk, not for any of those reasons. Although people have tried to trump all that stuff up. I mean, everybody's trying to create something, right? I heard Bush is he's an alky, he's a this, he's a that. They can't prove diddly squat, man. It's all a lot of slander, right? But the dude has... He's considered to be the worst president ever because he's done some stuff that is really dramatic and utterly without parallel in a lot of ways. And so that's just going to scare the crap out of people. And the first reaction of most people when they see something different and extreme is to say, oh my God! What do you think you're doing anyway? I have to go. I got to protect the country. As far as I'm concerned, Iraq, you guys said that I didn't preempt 9/11. You said that I didn't act. I'm going to try to act and preempt whatever Saddam Hussein's got in mind. Well, you can't do that. Why? If we would have done something 9/11, well, that was your fault. Well, the 8 months that I was not okay. So let's say it was my fault. How about if I try to preempt something now? Well, you idiot. They didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. All right. Well, maybe they didn't, man, but they could have. The fact is I went and I took the guy out. So sue me. Well, we're going to put you out of office. We got just the guy. His name is Senator Kerry. And he's married to this chick who sells cowboy ketchup. Some kind of a thing like that. It's a beautiful thing. All right, man. Good luck with that. All right, 1-800-449. What, David's on the phone? David Hall? I can't talk to him right now. I'll get him after the break. Does he want to go on the air? Oh, come on, man. I'll get him after the break. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
David?
Yeah?
Where are you, man?
Don't worry about where I am. I'm relaxing. I wanted to...
Do you have to talk to me like that every time you're on the air?
Well, if you would dispense with your commentary about my personality, I could get to my point and get off the air. Okay?
What am I hearing goats and stuff?
Forget about where I'm at. I happen to be... relaxing, okay? That's all I'm going to tell you.
On a farm?
Can we get to the point here? Can we get to the point?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I saw this movie on TV the other night called The Mask. And it has Jim Carrey in it.
Yeah, I know the movie.
Okay. And I want you to, because I heard something in the movie, and I think it'd be fantastic if you would lock out every segment before you go to commercial with this word, smoking, okay?
Is that's the one that you said?
Yeah, it's The Mask, you know, the superhero or that weird ass that he plays. Some kind of a weird guy with a green face.
I know. Yeah, he says smoking.
What, okay?
I can barely hear you for the cows and the chip.
Oh, we can Will you quit drawing attention to it? All right, I happen to have certain tastes. Now, let's get back to the,
You happen to have certain tastes.
It's none of your business.
I told him Mr. Hall was none of his business.
Can we get back to the movie?
Yeah.
All right, in the mask, the guy goes, smoke in. I want you to lock out with it. I think that's great.
So this is the Phil Hendry Show, smoke in.
Right, right. What do you think?
I don't know why I want to do that.
Because you need something like that, okay? You got to have some kind of a catchphrase, a word, something like that. Your show doesn't lock out with Jack, okay? And I want you to do it with feeling, not do it.
Wait a minute, David. Look, I'm hearing a cow.
Forget the cows, okay? You commenting on my... Are you commenting on the way that I like to enjoy myself?
No, I am not.
Then forget that I'm standing here with cows and stuff. Do it.
Smoking.
No, 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 no. Do it with feeling.
You gotta do it with feeling.
All right. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Smoking.
What the hell is... When Carrie does it in the movie, it's really great. It's funnier than hell. I fall out of my seat laughing. Do it sexy. Go ahead. Do it sexy.
Smoking.
Well, you sound like a freaking fag. Do it right. Come on. Do it sexy. And then I want you to do it a couple of more ways.
Please don't use that word, that F word, okay?
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do it sexy.
Phil Hendry Show. Smoking.
That ain't bad. All right. Now do it angry.
What do you mean, do it?
Just do it like this. Phil Hendry Show. Smoking. Like that.
Phil Hendry Show. Smoking!
That's wimpy. All right, now do it sarcastic.
Are you out on some ride or something, on a hayride?
Look, and I happen to be doing what I do. You're doing what you do. I'm doing what I do. Are you on the radio right now?
Yes.
Well, I'm doing what I do. I'm at a farm. None of your business what I'm doing here. Now do it sarcastic.
All right. Phil Hendry Show. Smoking.
What do you think, bud?
I don't know.
What are you asking him for?
Hey, Phil, one more thing, okay? Before I go?
Yeah.
Ba-ba-booey.
Okay, I'm just going to move along, and thank you very much, Bud, for enabling him in that.
I didn't know you were going to do that. Pretty funny, though.
What? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over here to a phone call. Mavis, don't forget, by the way, folks, we have Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, special plastic surgery segment. Let's go to a phone caller, though. Mavis, how are you doing?
Mr. Henry, I'm doing very good. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
I want to call and take exception to something that I heard you say. You are saying that all black people are going to vote for Kerry, and I find that very offensive.
I didn't say that really, but I guess in essence I did to the character bits I do.
Well, on the comedy things you do, you said you had a man on the other night said he said all black people vote for Kerry, and I think that is wrong. I mean, that we have minds of our own, and we can vote for whoever we want to. And for you to say, well, you know, all black people are going to vote for Kerry, I think it's very, very wrong. And I think it's very racist and stereotypes people very much.
Well, I don't want to stereotype, but it is a fact that a overwhelming majority of African Americans vote for Democrats, and I'm assuming they're going to vote for Kerry this time around.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you are treating all of us like we are... just a monolith, a big voting block. I can tell you that that is not the case.
Well, let me ask you, who are you voting for?
I'm voting for John Kerry.
Okay, you're voting for...
but that's not the point. You know,
what about your family members? What about your... Do you have a sister?
Yes, I have a sister.
Who's she voting for?
She's voting for Kerry.
She's voting for Kerry.
You can't draw a conclusion based on...
What, do you have a... Obviously, you have a mother and father.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Who are they voting for?
They're voting for Kerry.
And who... Have you got a brother?
Yes, I do have a brother.
And who's he voting for?
He's going to vote for Kerry.
All right, and like, who's your uncle going to vote for?
He's not going to vote for Kerry.
He's not?
No, he is not going to vote for Kerry.
Is he voting for... He's voting for Ralph Nader?
No, he's not.
So he's voting for Bush?
He's not going to vote. He's dead. So, see, that's all I'm saying.
He's not going to vote. He's dead. All right, well, thank you very much for the comedic highlight.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell
you. No, bull crap. You're not trying to be
funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell you that you cannot make that assumption that all black people are going to vote for Kerry.
Even though everybody in your family except your dead uncle is going to vote for Kerry.
That's got nothing to do with it. I'd vote for Bush if I wanted to vote for Bush, but I'm not going to vote for Bush.
When have you ever wanted to vote for a Republican?
I never have.
1-800-449-8686. Is your uncle going to vote for him? No, he's dead. You listen to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. If you go to the top of that website, you'll see a little poll. Which of Phil's characters would you most like to meet? I'd like you to vote there because in the coming weeks, we will make very clear to you what we have in mind. And we also, of course, want you to visit our souvenir shop, which is on our website, and we have a variety of things for you to choose from. I don't know, there's some holiday gifts there if you'd like. As a matter of fact, we always say that when it comes holiday time, the best place to shop is the Phil Henry website. We have bowling shirts from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got beautiful polo shirts from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We've got jackets from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We've got shot glasses, and we've got coasters for glasses, and we've got a cooler. Do we still have the cooler, the Phil Henry Show cooler for Dad? It's kind of like a Father's Day. Anybody could get this. It's an awesome cooler. It holds 6-pack of beer or whatever you want to put in it. And it's got a radio that comes on and off of the cooler so you can take it out to the beach when it's warmer. Or take it to a ball game with you if they let you take it into the... We went to the SC game and I said to my wife, hey, look at this, honey. We can bring this in with sandwiches. No, they don't let you bring no stuff in anymore, man. What are you, stupid? Where you been? So I sat there and I, you know, ate the sandwiches and then had to lug it back to the car. But in any event, something for everybody there on our website. And while you're there, pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And our Best of the Year 2004 CD, coming shortly, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, will be available as well. So that's www.philhenryshow.com for all your one-stop shopping needs.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From last night's show, Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, as he constantly reminds us, was on our show talking about the fact that he doesn't want trick-or-treaters on his property. He would like them to stay off of his property, and yet they won't. They keep coming on, and so he has no choice. His hands are tied. He's going to have to drop some razor blades into some Macintosh apples this Halloween.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, Lloyd. I'm a mother of three daughters. My children are 15, 13, and 7. My 7-year-old still trick-or-treat. I can promise you, my 7-year-old little girl in her kangaroo costume is not any threat to you as a combat veteran or a homeowner. If you do not want her trick-or-treating at your house, I ask you, you simply just don't put your porch light on. And you certainly don't put a pumpkin on your porch with a candle in it.
I've done that, and they still come on the property.
I can understand your anger towards people that might be vandalizing your property. I understand that.
That's what I'm talking
about.
But
for you to say that it's okay to give a child, and let me tell you, most trick-or-treaters are tender 10 or under. If you're going to give a child, a little girl, a little boy, a child, an apple with a razor blade in it, you should be in jail. And let me tell you,
you're wrong. Because I had these teenage boys come on my property, drop their pants, and so forth. That's not a 10-year-old girl.
My little 7-year-old girl is not going to drop her drawers, but this is a time-honored event to go trick-or-treating.
Absolutely.
She is going to go trick-or-treating to around homes in our neighborhood. She's only going to go to the homes that are welcoming and want trick-or-treaters.
Well,
but if my little girl ever got an apple from somebody with a razor blade in it, you can bet that there would be hell to pay, and you would spend the rest of your life as a combat veteran or a homeowner or whoever the hell you are in jail.
She's got it coming because of all the years that...
Well, wait a minute. This woman's daughter doesn't have it coming.
Well, it's out of my hands is what I'm saying to you. I don't want to hurt any little kid.
Well, if your hand stick a razor blade inside an apple and you drop it into my 7-year-old daughter's bag,
how do I know she's not toilet paper in a tree or this kind of nonsense?
She's how many 7-year-olds, Lloyd, do you see TP in people's neighborhoods?
I'll tell you what, ma'am, I stay clear of that kind of element. I don't know. But I'm simply saying, as a combat veteran from Korea and a property owner, I went to my congressman and my assemblyman, and I said, okay, it's on your conscience that I'm dropping schick into a Washington Delicious.
Right.
On whose conscience?
On my state assemblyman, Bill Wellington.
Well, this lady, what I would say, Jenny, is you stay away from any house that's dark. And is your house going to be dark this Halloween?
No, my house
isn't.
Absolutely.
I would like to know where Lloyd lives. What state does he live in?
I live in the state of California, ma'am. I've been a property. And let me tell you what, the property.
Lloyd, whether you are a property owner or a combat veteran is absolutely irrelevant. I could give it.
Whether you are
a combat veteran or a
ranger. Let me tell you what, I put down a few Chinese for you, Jenny, so your little kangaroo could go out and toilet paper up a house.
Her little daughter is not
Lloyd, then it's perfectly fine for you to drop a razor blade into an apple and stick it in her bag. Because you put your life at risk.
Look, you keep her the hell off my property.
You
keep her the hell off my property.
My child. That's okay.
You keep that kid off my property.
All right, look at Lloyd.
My child would never go on your property. If your home was not welcoming trick-or-treaters,
right,
my child would never come on your property.
Well, see, this just goes to show you that even if the home is welcoming trick-or-treaters, this is the kind of sickness.
Oh, hold on. You're calling me sick.
Yeah, I'm calling you sick. For the thing.
I'm a Korean War combat veteran.
I love how he wears that label.
Well, now, how do you like that? There you are, sitting there in your nice suburban bourgeois life, and I went out and I saw guys get wasted so your little kid could run around and get a mouth full of chocolate and everything else. And you better check your kangaroo kid.
You are speaking to a Navy wife. You are speaking to a Navy wife. My husband currently is in the U.S. Navy.
Let me tell you what. You better check the kangaroo's candy apples, Jenny.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy gold.
What a sick, twisted freak. By the way, Lloyd does not represent many of our fine veterans. Bobby Dooley joins us, who will be on tomorrow night from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, along with her husband, Steve.
And Phil, Steve's with me right
here. Yeah, it's right here. Took a break from baseball.
Steve's been watching the New York, and I forget what the...
The Yankees?
What is it?
The Yankees.
Yankees.
Yeah, Steve's been watching the New York Yankees. It's really interesting. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's the... not the World Series. It's the...
What is it, Steve?
It's the American League.
It's the American League.
Yeah, it's the American League Championship Series.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I've never really followed baseball, but we're having a lot of fun. And Steve made some chili, and Chris, he's sitting on the couch, and he's making all of his noises. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun being with a man that you love, and certainly enjoying married life as we do, Phil, as I know you do.
Yes, I do.
I certainly love to watch my husband as he has a good time watching his baseball, and he loves to watch his football, and then he makes his chili, and you still do? He's sitting on the couch being disgusting.
Well, you know, chili will do that.
Yeah. Chili will do what? I'm sorry.
Chili will... You talking about farting?
No. He's got his pants off. No, I'm sorry. We've got some kids over there.
What are you talking about? I thought you were talking about him farting from the chili.
I didn't say anything like that.
Well, you said he'd made chili, and he's sitting on the couch being disgusting. I assumed it was farting. You didn't tell me he's sitting there with no pants on.
Anyway, I really don't appreciate your tone.
I'm sorry, but...
I really don't appreciate... Anyway, I'm going to come on your program tomorrow night, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And I do want to remind people, please do vote this year. It's very important. Our country is run by voting, and the people what are elected are voted on. And I'm part of a voter awareness program here at Western Estates.
The people what are elected are voted on, huh?
Yes, yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, and also I bought a new dress today. So you're up to date.
All right, Bobby, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Dooley is going to... She bought a new dress today, and Steve's sitting there on the couch with no pants on watching this American League Championship Series and enjoying himself. All right, so Bobby and Steve will be on with us tomorrow night. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Just this Yankee-Boston game is still on, but Boston's leading by 7 runs. It's all over. It's all over, New York. But you know what? You guys have won a great many World Series. What I'd like to see now, and Mark and I both agree on this, because neither one of us love Boston either, I would like to see the Red Sox get into the World Series and get swept.
Woo! Look out!
What do you think of them apples, baby? How about dropping some chicken into those apples? Every time one of these teams get that, when the Cubbies made it in a few years, remember when the Cubs went to the wire in the National League and it was the Cubs, it's finally going to be the Cubs year? Yeah, it ain't the Cubs year. I'd like to see the Sox get in there, and I'd like to see them just drop it, man, in like four to the Astros. That'd really be a disgrace. All right, sew me up so tight I'm talking through a hole in my face. Coming up next hour on the Phil Henry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm sorry?
You got a collect call.
I have a collect call.
Yeah.
Who's it from?
It's from Maria Sanchez.
Well, that's my wife, you idiot. Don't you know who she is?
Yeah, she said it. Well, she said it. She was Maria Sanchez.
Well, you know that's my wife, don't you?
Yeah, that's, yeah, Maria, collect call.
Well, what does she want?
Well, you better get on the phone.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Phil. How you doing? Would you bring my cell phone down to the...
Wait a minute. This isn't my wife.
No, that's what I said, because I need to take the call. I'm down in the courtyard. I need my cell phone. Pick it up in my office. Bring it down.
How dare you call me and say you're my wife?
Oh, what is it? You got some kind of a gay thing? You have a gay issue, or is this...
No, I don't like you calling, and I'm thinking it's an emergency.
I want you to get my cell phone off my desk and bring it down to me. And don't forget, smoke in. Now lock out the segment with that.
David.
I said to do it.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Smoke in.
Do it better.
Come on.
Do it better.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Smoke in.
Do it better.
Come on.
Do it.
Phil Henry Show. Smoke in.
Great.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. I'm Sheila Skelly.
And I'm Dr. Jack Briscoe.
And welcome to our plastic surgery segment here on The Phil Henry Show. You know, we really get a lot of cards and letters from people saying, what a wonderful job you do. Here's a letter here, Dr. Briscoe, I think you'll like to share with our audience.
Well, here is a woman by the name of Mary who writes, Dear Dr. Briscoe and Hi, Shelley. Recently, I noticed that I had an actual 1/2 inch bit of sag in my rear end. Well, before slicing my wrists with a rusty razor blade, I decided to have my ass lifted. Thank God. Now my rear end is more acceptable to all of my girlfriends, and the men like it too.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
And yet another letter. Dear Dr. Briscoe, recently I looked in the mirror and I noticed that my nose was 1 millimeter off kilter. Well, before I decided to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, winding up a large red oil slick, I decided to call a plastic surgeon and I had my nose done. Now it's perfectly aligned and I have more friends than ever before. Plus, I believe God likes me more and I'll probably go to heaven.
That's a wonderful story, isn't that, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey,
that's so great. Well, we have a very wonderful celebrity guest here this evening, and we'd like to bring her on. Did you ever watch the Dick Van Dyke Show?
You bet I did. I'm so excited to meet this lady.
Well, she's coming on with us. She's had so much plastic surgery, so many facelifts, her eyebrows are now on the back of her neck.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Isn't that wonderful, ladies and gentlemen? Come on. Hey, all right. Let's bring her out. Mary Tyler Moore. Hey!
Oh, hi!
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Briscoe.
Hello, Mary. Mary, where can I begin? You have been a fantasy, a lurid, disgusting, demeaning sex fantasy of mine since I was 13 years of age.
Yay.
And, of course, Mary, we know that you have done a lot. What kind of work have you done?
Well, I had my face tightened, as you can see, because I can't stop smiling, see?
That's right. Tell us about that. You have that perpetual smile. That isn't natural, is it?
Well, it was when I was younger, but now it's on my face all the time. So that's why, you know, it's just clustered here. And also, my face isn't tightened up, so my eyebrows are the back of my head.
Your eyebrows are, let me see. Yes, her eyebrows are on the back of her head.
Isn't that wonderful? You know, I noticed...
Now, before you say anything or do anything, Sheila, I want to let everybody know, because I am a doctor, that when someone has that kind of plastic surgery, you want to make sure that you comb your hair very carefully, Mary, and you know why, right?
That's correct, because if I comb my hair too rough, I hold the hair, then the face will collapse, and the face does a full crash.
That's right. Her face will completely go through the floor if one hair is plucked out of her scalp.
Oh, I see, because of the fact that there is so much tightening.
Absolutely. So,
but I noticed you had a gray hair.
Don't touch the hair, okay? Now, how do you pluck those eyebrows in the back of your head, Mary?
Well, I get here, and I just look at the other hair and I pluck it out.
Okay. And why do you keep messing with her? Don't do that.
Don't ever hit my hand like that.
Well, why are you trying to pull the gray hair out of her head?
Because I don't like gray hair.
Oh, don't do it! Her face is going to come off! You idiot!
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, look at her face. It's right through the floor. Mary, you okay?
All right.
You pull a hair out of her head and then the face every week with you.
I thought maybe...
You thought. Now the lawsuits. We're already dealing with Meg Ryan's collagen lips exploding.
You know, the problem is you've got a sexual attraction...
Oh, forget it. Mary, you okay?
All right.
Look at that. We got to pick her face up and everything. Go get that eyeball. Get the eyeball. We'll be back next week and... Her nose just gave out. All right. Dr. Jack Briscoe.
I'm Sheila Skelly.
Thanks for listening to Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. Mary?
Ah!
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bill O'Reilly's lawyer says, put up or shut up. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry. Let's take a look at the news. By the way, the Red Sox, winners of the American League Championship, they beat the Yanks at home 10-3. Good for you, Yankees, or Sox. They beat the Yanks. I've never seen the Yanks get spanked at home in a seventh game like this in my life. In my life. Red Sox will now go to the World Series and lose. Now then, they ain't won one since 1918. Whatever. Who's keeping track? I guess they are. 1918, baby, when the Bambino went away. You'll never win a World Series because you traded away the slugger, the big Bambino, the Babe. And because of that, the Babe's in heaven and he's put a curse on your ass, Red Sox Nation. Now then, Bill O'Reilly's lawyer said to the woman accusing him of sexual harassment, put up or shut up, baby. His name is Ronald Green. He says that Fox News Channel producer Andrea Macris, the woman who claims that O'Reilly harassed her, should reveal whatever proof she has, including any recordings of alleged sexually charged conversations between herself and O'Reilly. Let me say first that we don't know if there have been any recordings. We're the ones who have gone to court to tell Andrea Macris and her lawyers to put up or shut up, not leak selected segments of conversations which may or may not have taken place.
Right.
Macris and her attorney have been ordered to appear for a hearing in New York State Supreme Court on Friday to divulge whether such tapes exist and show cause why they should not be open to examination by lawyers for O'Reilly and Fox News Channel. He announced his lawsuit against Macris, O'Reilly did, and her lawyer, Benedict Morelli, last Wednesday, just hours before Macris's sexual harassment suit against O'Reilly was filed. Boy, good move there, O'Reilly. I got to give it to you, forehead boy. He preempted her. I never heard of that. I've never heard of that happening where a guy preempts a woman's sexual harassment suit with a suit of his own for extortion. I mean, I got to hand it to the guy. Now, look, let's be clear what we're talking about here or what we could be talking about. Did he keep telling her all of this nasty stuff over the phone about vibrators and, well, you can read it. You can go online and read the stuff that has to do with vibrators and it has to do with some pretty sick and twisted. It ain't sick and twisted. What am I saying? It's stuff probably a man would say to a woman were she consenting to the conversation. And were she consenting to the conversation, then it's probably like any phone conversation you have with your girlfriend. I mean your new girlfriend. The one you've had for about a week. Nothing you have with your girlfriend of a year or two, or your wife. Boy, Newman just gave me a look like, oh, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for that. Anyway, however, if it was a conversation he had with an unwilling recipient, a woman who did not want to hear it and was privy to it only because she felt she would lose her job if she didn't sit and listen to him, then that's sexual harassment. And you can decide, baby. Me, I got my own opinion. Want to know what it is? That's just my opinion, but I guess I fall down in that school of thought, which is, if you didn't want him to talk like that, how did it, like, continue over weeks and weeks and weeks? And then there was that little thing that I heard about how you were going to go back to work for Fox only if he agreed to stop the harassment. Now, that doesn't sound like any human race that I'm familiar with. I don't know. I mean, I don't call myself a great student of people, but I think I understand people. So I personally feel that what happened, as I told you, is that O'Reilly was talking dirty to her, and she probably was consenting up to a point, and then he bugged her or pissed her off about something, and then she decided to sue him, and he didn't want any of these conversations to go public because he's married, or I think he's married. I've been saying he's married. He might as well be married. And he didn't want this to go public, so she, you know, was in some kind of a negotiation with him, which is not disputed by either side, and I guess the money was too much, and O'Reilly turned around and just sued her for extortion. Not because she was being harassed, but because he didn't want this to go public, and he was probably willing to pay her, but not as much as she wanted. That's just what I think. What we do now is that she was a financially challenged woman, maybe financially desperate, when she told co-workers she intended to bring down Bill O'Reilly and Fox, get $1 million from them, and buy the apartment in New York City that she always wanted and couldn't afford, said O'Reilly's attorney Ronald Green. I don't know. But then I was the guy that was screaming all along that that woman that Kobe apparently made wonderfully passionate love to for all of like 30 seconds, I thought that maybe there was something to that and that maybe she, you know, was entitled to you know, be heard, and that never happened. Now we find out subsequent Kobe held her by the neck and all of this stuff, and she's going to sue him civilly. See, it ain't a thing. This whole thing about automatically the guy is being screwed over, I don't play that. I always take the side of what's right. And in this case, O'Reilly's white and Kobe was black. So naturally I went, I'm joking.
Boy, you better be.
I'm kidding. Don't you dare.
I'm going to tell Mr. Hall just in case.
Yeah, there he goes. I'm kidding around. No, it just seemed to me that the facts as I understood them, or at least the description of the stuff as I understood it, added up to one thing in Kobe's case, it adds up to something else here in this O'Reilly thing. But by the same token, O'Reilly, you clowns that are married, let me tell you what, baby. Whether it's you or Kobe or the rest of you, you got to watch your step, man. I'm sure probably during the 8 years of my marriage, I've said something probably very, very suggestive and probably very sexual to a coworker. And,
yeah, you did.
Who?
Me.
Bull.
You did. You talked dirty to me.
Get out of here, man, before I commit homicide.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to come out in a newspaper account.
Get out of here. In other news, Team America debuted to $12 million this past weekend, not as much as Paramount wanted. Team America, the film involving puppets and a satirization of the so-called satirization of the war on terror and a slamming of the Hollywood liberal elite, was predicted to do something in the high teens. But apparently it did a number around $12 million, and it wasn't the boffo box office that they wanted. How could this be? What possibly could have caused it? In reading some of the trades, it appears that Team America chickened out on its advertising campaign. That's right. Fahrenheit 9/11, when that thing came out, Michael Moore's movie, and let's be clear here, Michael Moore's flick has done over $100 million. It's a fantastic number for a documentary, but I don't know what Team America is going to wind up doing. But when Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, he made no bones about what his movie was about. It slammed the Bush presidency. and it slammed his handling of the war on terror, and it would indict the president for almost a criminal negligence in his handling of the attacks of 9/11. Now, contrast that with Team America, a movie that absolutely skewers the traditional Hollywood view of this war on terror, mocks people for being, and if you don't get the imagery, puppets of terrorists. Directly, Alec Baldwin and all these Hollywood actors like Helen Hunt, I mean, the movie basically says you guys are the puppets of terrorists. That's what the film's point is. But did they say that in their advertising? No. Why? Because they were afraid that they were going to alienate people. They were making a movie that was of absolute a satirical political import, and they didn't want to say it in the advertising. They wanted to play it right down the middle. They were afraid of their NC-17 rating. They were afraid of maybe getting an R rating. They didn't know whether or not people would go see it because it's too political. Because God knows people don't want to see a movie with a point of view. The movie's got a brilliant point of view, and if they put it out there in the ads, they might have actually generated some pre-movie buzz beyond just the Sean Penn's upset with him stuff, and guys like me saying you really got to go see this flick because it's really cool. People misunderstood this movie from the beginning, man. When you got Rolling Stone and the LA Times saying the must-see movie, automatically people are going to think it's some kind of a slam on the Bush administration. It ain't. In fact, Bush ain't even mentioned in the movie. It takes Alec Baldwin, Samuel Jackson, Sean Penn, Helen Hunt, Janine Garofalo, and a few others that I can't remember, and literally bends them over in the shower. It shows them to be what they are. Utter nincompoops, spewing hot air that only helps those people that would bring our country down. Only. Right? I know I sound like a right-winger. It's cool. If you think I'm a right-winger, then you just join the show. All right, so dig this. Now, you're going to really like this. You're going to really dig this. So I got a call 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, from Paramount. And they said to me, because I do a voice in the movie, they said, boy, we're really in trouble with this radio campaign, the radio advertising. I said, oh, yeah? Tell me about it. They said, well, the radio ads that we got, they really suck. And we really need something, Phil. We really need something. And the producer, one of the hot shot producers, says, you're the guy, you're the man, you're the radio guy. I said, fine, I'll do it. Now, do we have a recording of those spots? We could play the spots that I created for Paramount and the ones that wound up on the air. I created some radio spots for Team America. You know what? Don't even worry about it, Mark. I'll just paraphrase them. I created some radio spots for Team America, you know, with like a 3 or 4 days' notice. I mean, they needed these things like pronto, right? So I whipped something there in the studio. But basically, one of them was this. Hi, I'm Sean Penn. And, you know, Team America, I hate it. I hate the movie, and I don't like the way it made me cry. I saw it, and I wept in front of my agent. A whole bunch of crap like that, you know. And then at the end, I do what I do, celebrity voice impersonated, right? And even got a letter from Paramount saying, oh, it was the funniest damn thing we ever saw, right? Then I got another one that's a man on the street thing that comes right out and says, I don't like a film that lampoons our very fine celebrities and Michael Moore. And, you know, it's a man on the street. I mean, in other words, it was saying what the movie was about, man. Now, they needed this stuff because they were in big, big trouble. You got one of them? You got the Sean Penn one? Okay, here's the Sean Penn one. This was the commercial you didn't hear for Team America. This is Sean Penn, and I'd like to speak to you about the film Team America World Police from the creators of South Park. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like this film. I don't like it at all. I don't like the people that made it. You see, it's one thing to take the usual shots at conservatives and the power structure in Washington. I enjoy that. In fact, I have done quite a few movies myself that deal with that kind of thing. I hope you've seen them. But this film goes after liberals. And it doesn't just go after liberals, it goes after Hollywood liberals. That disturbs me. It disturbs me because it traumatizes me. It traumatizes me in front of all of my colleagues here in Hollywood. And I gotta tell you, I wept. I wept in front of my agent. I don't want you to see this movie. I'm Sean Penn for the film Team America World Police, celebrity voice impersonated. There you go. And then we tag it out with Starts Friday. What the hell's wrong with that? I think it's a grabber, man. In other words, it's not some big, noisy thing, right? Plus, he says right out there, man, hey, baby, this movie is, you know, it makes fun of liberals, right? Nah, man, they don't want that. They said later for that. What's this other one we did? Let's see that. You got that one, Mark? Here's the other spot we did for Team America for Paramount. They didn't use it. Here it is. This is Phil Hendry for the film Team America World Police from the creators of South Park. A film that will haunt you for the rest of your life. Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you seen the film Team America World Police?
I did see it, yes.
Now, you were in a test screening?
Yes, I was.
Can you tell me what you thought of it?
I thought it was sadistic. I did. I'm sorry.
You didn't like it?
No, I did not. You can see my husband's upset.
It's him over there?
Yes. We didn't like the film.
Tell me why. Tell me why you didn't like it.
I think the graphic nature of the violence. I think the, I'm a great admirer of Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
And what they do to him in this film is, it disturbed me to the point of I'm just disturbed.
Team America, World Police, from the creators of South Park. See? You know what they did to Tim Robbins? I'm disturbed. It's very dark. See, I said to them, this is what I said to these people. I said, look, you don't come out with an ad campaign that says, it's wacky, it's controversial. If you say from the creators of South Park, you know it's going to be wacky and controversial. You don't say it. What you need to do is something that's opposite. You need something dark. Like, you know, a film that will haunt you. The violence. Like the most violent movie you've ever seen. Well, as you can see, they didn't use it. So they ran with their usual schmucky kind of a campaign, and guess what they get? They get $12 million in opening day because they didn't tell anybody what the movie's about. Oh, it's a puppet movie? No, it ain't just a puppet movie, baby. This is one of the most brilliant pieces of satire ever put on film. One of the greatest films ever made. It's going to challenge... I think D.W. Griffith should just hang his rotting head in shame. I'm not kidding you, man. It's great, but they didn't want to say it. They didn't want to tell you how great it was. They wanted you to just think it was a simple little puppet movie so they don't offend mom and dad. Good going, Paramount. All $12 million. I hope you make it to 30. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Boy, thanks for meeting me here in my little brother's treehouse.
Sure, thanks for asking me.
Well, I was wondering, have you ever played Truth or Dare?
Sure. Me and my friends play it all the time at sleepovers.
Cool. Do you want to play?
Sure, you go first.
Okay, Truth or Dare?
Truth.
Okay, who do you want to kiss right now?
Oh, that's easy. I'd like to kiss my Savior for blessing me with such a wonderful life.
He's a very kinky girl.
Jesus freak teen.
The kind you don't take home to my fire.
Oh, no.
She will never let your spirit stand.
Yes, Jesus freak teen.
To get her off the street. Oh,
a Paramount Pictures production.
Boys in the band.
Rated C for crap.
World's our favorite.
I want to kiss Jesus, huh? 1-800-449-8686. That's cute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's great. That's real comedy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. So anyway, that's all I'm saying about... I ain't trying to bug anybody, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get anyone up in my face. I'm not trying to get anyone to, you know... I'm not trying to do anything, man. Yeah, David.
Well, you're really kind of, what do they call it? You're really gunning for notoriety in this town, aren't you?
Hang up on him.
Don't you hang up.
I'm not going to listen to his crap. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, I got on the line here Darren Brown of C93 in Pierre, South Dakota. Darren, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you.
And what can I do for you?
Phil, we run your program here in Pierre, South Dakota. We run you from 9 to midnight each and every night here in Pierre, South Dakota. We do a tape delay. But I wanted to ask you, Phil, if you wouldn't mind, a lot of the, I guess you'd say, extemporaneous monologues that you do, and you're a brilliant monologist, by the way, Phil.
Thank you.
What I ask you is you might use the word cat. You use the word cat a lot. What's that about, anyway?
You mean me saying cat?
Yeah, here you use the word cat a lot, and the word cat is sort of anachronistic, and it's good for they say, dude, how about dude? You know, hey, dude. You ever see dude?
No, I don't, Darren. Yes, I do say dude, but I guess the reason why I say cat is it's just something from when I was a kid. I always said cat. You know, this cat, that cat.
Right. Now, we
lot of the audience want to stand. What you're talking about when you do that, sir? Maybe you could do something different.
You want me to talk differently?
What we'd like you to do, sir, here on C93 and Pierre, running your program, really enjoy it. Maybe do something different.
What's with this guy?
Just shut up. I'm talking to a program director.
You say something?
No, nothing at all.
Guy sounds retarded.
Shut up, bud. So you don't want me to say the word cat?
All right, Phil, because we are core audience of 55 plus, and people don't really get with all that hip lingo. So here in Pierre, South Dakota, we're trying to make your program a little more acceptable to a lot of people out here.
Well, I can certainly make an effort, Darren, to not use the word cat. I suppose, dude.
Well, how about here's an idea that I thought to was talking to my marketing director about your program, and I was on a summit here in Pierre, South Dakota. What we're going to do is use the word fellows. Hey, you fellows. Hey, look at these fellows over here, you know? I don't know what to do all of that.
This guy really sounds weird.
Shut up, bud.
I'd say that?
No. Fellows, yeah. These fellows, you know, those fellows. You know, it takes a little bit of retraining. So much of what I do is just, I don't really think about it.
Well, I've got to tell you something, Phil, in the years of broadcasting I've been in, and I'll tell you something right now, I haven't as many years as you. But you don't have to think about things, you know? You just want to really do it the best way you can, okay? How about good old chum, huh? Good old chum.
Sounds fag-like.
Shut up, bud.
Somebody call me a fag?
No. Good old chum?
Yeah, I'd say chum, something like that, you know? Because the program that we're carrying here in Pierre, South Dakota, C93, the Phil Henry Show, and I'm make sure everyone hears it. And we'll make sure that everyone likes the program, and we'll do.
All right, man, I'll try to make an effort at talking better and doing the things you want me to do.
The only thing I'd really like for you to do, Phil, is you know C93 is your Air America affiliate for Pierre, South Dakota. A lot of your opinions are a little bit conservative. The thing with the Air America, I mean, a little bit more of a liberal sound. Do you think maybe you can do that?
No, man, I don't think I can be. I can only be what I am.
You're not any good man, okay? You'd say cat, you'd say dude, you'd say chubby, you'd say belly, good man. I want that!
This guy is really, you gotta be kidding.
Bud, let me handle it.
What?
Nothing at all, Darren. I will try to make an effort at, presenting my program so it's more relatable, right?
Absolutely, because remember the Tiger Radio business, we're about relatability. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. We're about relatability.
Every time I get over here, you know, I do the morning show here, and I'm here talking about being relatable. I talk to people who really like to be talked to.
Well, I'll do that, Darren, and thank you very much, sir, for calling, and I do appreciate you carrying our show there in South Dakota. I really do.
All right, Phil, it was really great talking to you. And maybe we come out to Hollywood, you'll take me around to your Hollywood buddies or something like that, and get an autograph or something like that, okay?
All right. No problem, Darren. Thanks so much.
All right, Phil. See you later.
Darren Brown, who's the program director of C93 in Pierre, South Dakota, and he wants me to not use the word cat so much. Because the way I'm presenting myself on the air is not very relatable. 1-800, in some ways. 1-800-449-8686.
You gotta be kidding.
What?
You didn't do that guy. He sounded like a retard.
Bud, let me tell you something about this business. You treat your affiliates with respect. You treat your affiliates with respect, okay? You do whatever you can to help, because they're carrying your show.
Well, I understand, but I can't understand anything that guy said. He sounded all messed up and everything in the head. Like maybe he took one off the chin. What's so funny?
Nothing. All right,
You don't treat Air America with respect?
I do treat Air America with respect. Just shut up and get out of here. Took one off the chin. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. Tomorrow night, don't forget, we got Bobby and Steve Dooley, Chef Carl Chedilia, and on Friday, it's the Ted Bell Hour on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
World famous Phil Henry Show. You can access us online at www.philhenryshow.com. You can hear clips from tonight's Jay Santos bit online. You'll also be able to hear bits from our shows of the last 30 days. Not just bits, the whole shows, man. Streaming online or going to our archives, you can hear the Phil Henry Show at www.philhenryshow.com. Let's take a look at some news. But first, I got to get this this out of the way here. U.S. soldier pleads guilty to abusing Iraqi prisoners. What does that make? Five? How many guys have actually been found guilty of abusing the prisoners? But more importantly, what's the worst thing that happened to a prisoner in Iraq? Now, all these months later, guess what we're finding out? It was all just a big, fat load of old rubbish. Rape. Murder. Three guys, man, are going down for the count on this thing. Three. Including that little, the little Mo Howard lookalike, that little Indy England, whatever the hell. Rape and murder, huh? Guys were, the worst thing I heard, with tears in their eyes, and then they made me put underwear on my head and I was nude. I'm not saying that abuse is good. If the guy's wrong, the guy's wrong. But boy, they tried to make our guys out to be war criminals. I want to say on behalf of the American military, this is just one voter, one American citizen, I'm really outraged on their behalf. I really am. I don't hear anybody else saying it. And let me just say this. The Marines surround Fallujah. I hope you kick some serious ass, man. They've been in some serious firefights around Fallujah trying to get that Zarqawi guy. See, the Marines care about getting this guy, who is the guy that was chopping off heads. And despite all of the, all of the puddles of urine forming under the feet of so many people in this country with that war in Iraq, those guys aren't losing heart, and I hope they go over there and they kill a bushel of those guys. I mean, I hope they waste them by the hundreds. By the hundreds! Now then, but enough with the comedy. Let's move on to this. This is great. An ABC News polling unit. You're going to love this. They call houses. 1,501 American adults were called, and they were asked about their sexual habits, age 18 and older. Here is what they found out. Of the people, now remember, they're calling a house, and it sounds like this.
Hi, would you be willing to answer some questions?
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever had sex?
No.
Okay. Are you in a committed relationship?
Yes.
Have you been faithful?
Yes.
Have you ever had sex on the first date?
Uh-huh.
And,
Yeah, she did. She missed the first one, which was, no, I've never had sex. So in other words, just some guy, he's sitting there smoking up a fat butt of strawberry kush that he just jammed into his bong, and here comes the phone call, and so he has to turn down the volume on freaking whatever the hell he's watching on Nick at Night, go over, answer the phone. Americans who've never had sex, 3%. Now here's what I say you do with this information. I think you should... In other words, lower the number by at least double. So when I give you the result, because I think people lie on telephone polls. Why do I think that? Because I lie on telephone polls. When they call me up, and I'll talk to them, I answer all kinds of screwy stuff. Yes, sir, and can I ask you, I give them stuff like, what is your name? My name's Mr. Brown. Okay, and you African-American or white? I'm African-American. And how many children do you have? 15. All right, and what is your religious orientation? I'm Roman Catholic. Okay, and how much money do you make? $8 million a year. You know, I just, totally against whatever they think they're going to hear. Americans who never had sex, 3%. Okay, I say that they're lying, it's a negative 3%. I don't think there's an American left that's not had sex. I think they've all had sex.
Are you part of the 3%? Okay.
Well, now, what do you think, bud? I'm married.
But you only have stepkids. You don't have no real kids.
I got stepkids doesn't mean that I don't have sex.
Well, if you have sex, how come you don't have no real kid?
Are you stupid or something?
Prove that you have sex.
I'm not proving anything. Get out of here and quit drooling all over that freaking jacket I gave you. How dare he come in here and demand I prove it?
Get your pants down now. Ow.
Americans in committed relationships who've been faithful the entire time, 84%. 84% said they were faithful the entire time. That's bullcrap. About 50% of all people who are in long-term relationships are faithful. Sorry, I hate to break the news. About 50%. And if you've been married for 20 years or more, it's likely that if you're the man in the relationship, you have cheated on your wife. It's over 50% likely. Get a load of that. All right, here's the next question. Americans who've had sex on a first date, 29%. I think it's way lower. I think it's probably like 2%. Americans who participated in a threesome, 14%. Bullcrap, probably 2%. Americans who've had sex outdoors or in a public place, 57%. I say it's about 98%. Men who say they always have an orgasm, 74%. Who doesn't? Women who say they always have an orgasm, 30%. That's right. Women who have faked an orgasm, 48%. Men who faked an orgasm, 11%. I think more men... You know, why am I talking about this? Get out of here.
I was going to ask you, man. It's kind of boring.
Thanks, bud. Yeah?
Now what are you doing?
I just thought I'd re...
Just get off the sex!
Sorry.
What are you, Dr. Laura all of a sudden?
No, I'm not, man. It was an ABC. I wanted to make a point about how polls are bullcrap.
Well, you ain't making the point, are you? Talking about guys faking it? They're dusting off the hot seat for me! Now listen, I'm a...
You hung up on him.
Right, I did. All right, anyway, Pat Robertson, listen to this load. Pat Robertson said that he spoke with President Bush before the Iraq War, and he said, Mr. Bush, I have serious misgivings about... excuse me. Mr. Bush, I have serious misgivings about this war, and he said the president... He said, I'm afraid we're going to have a lot of casualties. I got to get some water, excuse me.
Why don't you belch, too?
Hold on. The hell happened to my throat? Robertson said, he said, you better prepare the American people for casualties. That's what he said. And he said that the president responded, oh no, we're not going to have any casualties. This is the latest in a series of dog droppings out of the mouth of this guy, Pat Robertson. I told you last night, these guys are a liability for you, Bush. Every time Pat Robertson touches something, it turns to dung. Do you understand? Every time he gets near something, it turns into a bizarre fiasco. It was his big fat mouth right after 9/11 that said the gay people brought it on. You remember that? And they had to turn around and apologize for that. I realize he's a broadcaster and he's got to get attention for his network and all of the things that he does. The guy's got a screw loose, and I don't know why the president sits down with a guy like this. What is going on? Why is this? Why would any president sit down with a nut job like Pat Robertson? But you couldn't possibly need the bread, Mr. President. You got enough bread. You can't. You don't need the evangelical Christian money. You sure don't need the publicity that a freak job like this brings to you. I mean, this guy is—he's a basket case. Every time he opens his big fat yap, he says something so bizarre, so off the charts, that you want to drop to one knee and weep as if you threw one going the other way for 80 yards. As if you dished up the gopher pitch to that guy tonight with the Red Sox. Those two big gopher balls, that guy hit two out tonight. We believe, and then of course the Democrats got to come in on this one because they got nothing, man. I mean, they got nothing to run on. Here comes the guy that runs the Democratic Party, the guy by the name of Mike McCurry, who says, well, we want to give the president the benefit of the doubt, but we think he should deny or, affirm that he said these things. I mean, why should the president have to confirm or deny every blathering, every insane gibbering out of the mouth of every mental midget that comes along? Well, here's one good reason, because he let this metal midget into the White House and had sat down and had tuna fish sandwiches with this guy or something. You should keep these guys out of the White House. Look, I'm voting for you, man, because I like this war on terror and your approach. The rest of these screwballs that you got going on, it's against my better judgment. I'll tell you one thing, for my vote, here's what you got to do. Keep this nutcase away. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. You got one Democrat voting for you. You got a whole lot of Democrats voting for you. Just do us the big favor and keep a guy like Robertson about 800 yards away from you, almost as if you just keep him downwind. Voters concerned with flu vaccine and draft. Well, if you read the fine print, older voters are concerned about the vaccine. Younger voters are concerned about the draft, which, by the way, of all the desperate things that have been floated in this campaign, one of them is this, the draft's coming back. There ain't no draft, Jack. There ain't no draft. First of all, we can't have an effective army with a draft. We learned that the hard way in Vietnam. You got to have professional soldiers. There ain't going to be no draft. if you're under the age of whatever the hell you're supposed, 25, and you're afraid there's a draft coming, let me just say this. There's not going to be a draft. And by the way, there isn't going to be a draft, okay? And one more thing. There will not be a draft. Margaret?
There won't be a draft.
RC?
Yeah, there probably won't be a draft.
And Steve?
There won't be a draft as far as I know, but that's not what I called him to talk about.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.